Okay, the Mishnah says, again, this we learned last time, so we're going to go through a little quicker. Okay. A woman becomes acquired to the husband in three ways. And she acquires her freedom from the husband in two ways. And the Mishnah explains.
Question. What page
are you on? It's like when you announce the page of Bereishis. In this show we announce, if you can't find it, you don't belong here. Nicknas Bekesef Shtaru Babia.
What? The notion is two books, right?
Right.
Okay.
A woman is acquired to the husband Bekesef Shtaru Bia. Kesef means money or equivalent of money. The Mishnah is going to explain how much money. Bishtar, if you give a document, this is not the ksuba. There's a guy writes on a piece of paper, Harei Atma Kodeshesli, you are betrothed to me with this piece of paper, and he gives it to her, even though it's worthless as far as value is concerned of paper. It's even not a pruta. Because if it's pruta, he's giving her money. If it's valuable of a cent, then he's giving her money. So even if it's not valuable at all, but he writes in a document, or B is intimacy. If he does any of these three things, obviously, as we'll learn, as we discussed last week, in the presence of two witnesses, except obviously intimacy, he can't do in the presence of two witnesses. He does know. Witnesses see that they're alone in the house. Or kesef ishtarabiyah. Now the Mishnah explains, because of how much money? When you speak about you could do it with money, how much money is it? So the Mishnah says, Bishami emirim, Bishami says, bedinar or bishavadinar. With the amount of a dinar or equal to a dinar. Now, he explains the concept over here is a silver dinar, 1/25th, the value of a gold dinar. Okay, whatever it was in the value. It's not so relevant today because halacha is not like Beshamai, the halacha is like Beisilu. Beisilu, Leimin, Beisilu says Bepruta or Beshava Pruta. With a cent, a Pruta, or the equal of a Pruta. In other words, the Gemara learns out from different psukim that equivalent of money is like money. Okay, you need to redeem a firstborn for 5 silver shekels. Technically, halachic doesn't have to be 5 silver shekels. It could be the equivalent, the monetary value of 5. The world is out in many places, shava kesef, kekesef. Equivalent of money is like money. So Beishami says it has to be a dinar, or at least equal to a dinar. Beis Hillel says pruta or beshava pruta. A pruta, which is much, much smaller than a dinar. In fact, it was much less than a silver dinar. It was much, much less. Okay? Pruta is really, in halacha, the smallest denomination of money value.
Penny.
Now, some people today question a penny is basically not even worth the copper that it's on. So, there are opinions that say a penny wouldn't be a pruta today. Okay? But, the Gemara is going to say, v'kama pruta, how much is a pruta? It says, Echad Mishmeina Be'isir Talki. It has to be 1/8 of an Italian Isir. Basically, it's 1/40th of a gram. It's amount of silver weighing a half a grain of barley. You know, a grain of barley, you put into cholent. It has to be silver that weighs a half of barley. That's how much a pruta is. Okay, but it's very little. So the Mishnah says like this, a woman becomes acquired to the husband, and as we mentioned last week, contrary to secular belief, when by marriage, the man acquires the woman. Okay? That's what it says, therefore a man goes out, he acquires the woman. The woman does not acquire the man. So therefore the Mishnah says, the woman becomes acquired to the man in one of three ways, that she becomes his wife. The kindness atzma, how does she become freed from the husband? Beget ubemisa sabal. Either he gives her a kosher get, or the husband dies. Okay? These are the only two ways that the wife becomes freed from the husband. It takes three ways to acquire her, two ways to get her out. Then the Mishnah says, a yavama, a woman who, you know, the guy died without any children, the man died without children, so the woman cannot remarry until she either marries the brother-in-law, the husband's brother, or they do chalitza, you know, with the shoe and the spit and the whole thing. So he says, a yavama niknas babia, yavama is acquired to her husband, to the new husband, just by intimacy, because as the Gemara is going to explain later, Yavama is acquired to the brother-in-law from heaven. In other words, Reuven married Leah. Right? Reuven died without kids. So Shimon has to marry Leah. Right? Now, Leah can't remarry. He can't even give her a get for her to remarry. Okay? Because he never married her. He either marries her, and once they've married, they become a full-fledged wife, then he could divorce her. Or chalitza, which allows her to get married to somebody else. But when the brother dies without children, God automatically gives her to the brother. It's like Hashem making that shidduch. So the only way they actually acquire one another is by intimacy. There's nothing else to do. You can't give her money. You can't give her shtar. The Torah says it's an automatic obligation to marry her. And that's the way he acquires her. The kainas, one second, the kainas atma, and the yavama frees herself in one of two ways. Either chalitza, when the brother-in-law gives her chalitza, you know, they'll process with a shoe, and they take off the shoe and the spitting and the whole thing, or mitzvah sayavim if the brother-in-law died. The brother-in-law died, then she can marry however she wants.
What about the child?
Two A1.
Oh,
don't say
one.
What?
What was the third brother?
No, if he dies with children, then she doesn't have to go to the other brother.
What about if he doesn't have a children?
Then again, there's a mitzvah yibum. But that's not the case.
But if they have children, the
like you, the
mutter.
Right. Yeah, like you, the story. What?
And then her husband dies, she get the value of the get?
The value of the get, the ksuba, you mean?
The
yeah. The woman gets the ksuba if there's divorce or death.
How much is that?
It's a question about how much it is today. Usually in the settlements, they don't even deal with ksubas today, because in the settlement, they get much more than the ksuba is worth.
What if you don't have the money to give it for? What if you have the money
the estate gives it.
Huh?
The estate. If the guy dies, the inheritance.
Oh, okay.
What? Okay.
What do you mean if you don't know what the value is? Is there 100 zoos or 200
zoos? No. Yeah, but how much is 200 zoos today?
In today's money.
In geld. How much geld is it? No, I have, somebody wrote a whole article, maybe 30, 40 pages, describing it. According to certain opinions, it's in the tens of thousands of dollars. And other opinions say it's a few hundred dollars. Because 200 zoos, you have to know how much the zoos is, you know.
Whatever. 40 somewhere.
Huh?
$40, I read.
Yeah, but the question is today, when the Chachamim gave in those days 200 zoos, what would be value of 200 zoos today? Not the value of the silver. In other words, like, if a guy made one zoos a week, let's say, in those days, then 200 zoos would be 200 weeks of money. Right? So now if a guy makes $1,000 a week, let's say, so maybe 200 zoos would be 200 times that, you know. That's the question in how the Chachamim are making the ksuba. Now, there's a big mistake. People think shtar in this mishnah is ksuba. I mean, not the mefarshim, but the ksuba is a financial responsibility from husband to wife. Contrary to, again, the purpose of the ksuba is to not defend the wife, to protect the wife. That's why the Gemara says you're not allowed to live with the woman if you don't have a ksuba. If the guy loses a ksuba or she loses a ksuba, you have to right away go write another ksuba. What's called ksuba deichas, a lost ksuba, and he has to give a mean or a collateral, something valuable, which is at least something substantial. Until then, they can't be together because there's a problem with there's no ksuba. So ksuba is not a male document. Ksuba, if anything, is a female document to protect the woman that, in case, God forbid, the husband divorces her. In fact, one of the main purposes of a ksuba is that the husband shouldn't just divorce her. Like this, what's stopping the husband? If he has to pay the value of a ksuba, which was a lot of money, then he's going to hesitate to divorce his wife. So that was the value. It's a financial document. It has nothing to do with kedushin. Has nothing to do with wedding. The ceremony of the wedding. We said that last week, I think we mentioned it. The only reason why we read a ksuba at a wedding is to separate between the two parts of the wedding. Kedushin or Edison and the Chuppah, which years ago was 12 months apart. Right now we do them together just to make a machitza, a separation between part A of the wedding and part B of the wedding. You read the Ksuba, but really there's no purpose of reading the Ksuba.
Is it Rabbanan then, you think?
What?
Ketubah itself.
No, that's what you have in the Ksuba. Divnachi Medaraisa or Medrabbanan. If it's a virgin, it's Deraisa, Minateira. If is she divorcee or widowed, then it's rabbinic. That's the... In fact, by Shechem it says, we'll give you Moihar. You know, when the Shechem spoke to the boys, somebody Rashi says it's Ksuba. What?
If you, they did part one, and they don't want to go to the part two, they have to do it?
No, they can give a get.
They can give it to get that data, and he has to pay the ketubah?
Yeah. No, not from there. We'll see later in the Gemara about that. Not from the Edison, only from the Chuppah. What?
If the husband dies and there are no children, is she supposed to inherit his...
A wife never inherits.
No,
don't tell that to the women today.
And you said in Ksuba money, she's supposed to
get from the estate.
From the estate.
So who gets it if there's no husband? There's no...
There's inheritance.
Brothers and whoever.
Brothers, uncles, not aunts. Uncles, grandparents, great uncles, all the way back to Yaakov Avinu.
Nothing, the woman doesn't get anything?
I know.
She gets the Ksuba.
Ksuba, what is it? It's just a paper.
No,
the money of the Ksuba.
I know, but how much is it?
You have an IOU of $1 million. What is it, a piece of paper? Maybe nowadays it is.
But
it's a piece of paper. Can't collect that.
But now it's not so worth that much.
But I'm saying today they take away the Ksuba because in the settlement they get more than the Ksuba anyway.
What about if the guy is a billionaire? I mean, it's just...
The Ksuba is... The Ksuba, that's it. By the Sfardim, there was a minute. The Chachamim, the Rabbanim stopped it years ago. By the Sfardim, they used to give tremendous amounts of money in the Ksuba.
Right.
Yeah, millions or whatever it is. By Ashkenazim, they didn't do it. Ashkenazim, the Rabbanim never let to write more than the amount. Let's say it's 200 zuz. The guy said, no, I'm going to get 10,000 zuz. He couldn't do it. By the Sfardim, they used to do it.
They used to force them.
Yeah, and then the Rabbanim stopped it because he used to do shtick. You know, the women would want to get a lot of money from the guy, and then they would get a get, and they would get a lot of money, it would be fights, and they said, you know what, this is it. Keep to the basics, and keep it simple, stupid, like they say, and that's it.
Even if the guy wants to give,
he can't. No. Yeah, you become. So the Gemara asks like this: Isha Niknes. It said in the Mishnah like this. The next piece of Gemara is discussing the language of the Mishnah. Now, Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote Mishnah, it's exact. Okay, every word is exact, and there's a reason why certain words are written. Like now, the Gemara is going to be talking about why does it use the expression acquiring instead of kedushin. Why does it use masculine instead of feminine, or feminine instead of masculine? All these things the Gemara is discussing on the text of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this: Isha Niknes. It says in our Mishnah, Isha Niknes, the woman becomes acquired. Why in our Mishnah does it say Isha Niknes that the woman becomes acquired? And yet, in the beginning of the second parak, the Mishnah says Ha'ish Mekadesh. It uses the expression kedushin. So why does it say in our Mishnah the expression not of kedushin but of acquiring, when in the second parak it uses the expression of kedushin? Let's be uniform.
What does
kedushin
mean?
Consecrated to me. So it says, Mashna Tanya Ish. So Gemara said like this: you know why our Mishnah doesn't use the word kedushin? Why does it use the word kinyan, acquisition? Mishim the kaboy lemis nekesef. Because one of the three ways you acquire a woman is by giving her money, or a ring, or whatever. The kesef minolon. And how do we know you can acquire a woman with money? Because it says, kicho, kicho, mistei efrin. We learn out, like we discussed this last week, a gzeira shava, that here it says a word, there it says a word, and therefore we learn out the each din from each other, because the Torah is using the same words, and it says, By stay Ephraim, when Avram Avinu bought Marisa Machpelah, it says, by here, by Kedusha it says, ki yikach ish isha, if a man will take a woman. And by Ephron it says, Nosati kesev asod, I gave the money, kach mimeni, take it from me. So here it says the word kach, there it says the word kicho, it's the same word. So therefore we learn out one thing from the next. And then let's finish the word, then I'll explain it. V'kicha ikri kinyan, and the word kicha means acquisition. Why? Because it says, Hasad esher kon Avram, the field with Avram acquired. Meaning as follows. The Gemara's question is, in our Perek, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah is using the expression, the woman becomes acquired. In the second Perek, the Mishnah uses the word kiddushin. Why here does it use acquiring, and why over there does it use the word kiddushin? It says, it should say over here, a woman becomes mekudeshes in one of three ways. Why does it use the word nikness? So the Gemara answers like this, because one of the three ways is with money, that a woman becomes acquired, right? Now, if a woman becomes acquired with money, by money we find the expression of kicha, taking, and taking is called kinyan, acquiring. So the Gemara is answering as follows, because one of the ways is money, and money is called taking, which is a kinyan, so therefore here the Mishnah uses the word kinyan, nikness. That the man acquires the woman. By the way, this is what we mentioned, I think we mentioned about double ring ceremony. Did we discuss this last week? We did. The problem with double ring ceremony is because the woman thinks she's acquiring the husband, and that's not true. The husband acquires the wife, not the wife the husband. So therefore, it has to be the concept of kinyan.
Is the term kinyan used in the wedding ceremony?
No.
Just...
Harei at mekudeshes libetavaza, yeah.
Okay.
But the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is discussing the way that the man acquires the wife, and one of them is money, which is called kinyan, so the Mishnah uses the word kinyan.
So where's that double ring came from?
It's called the goyim.
So the handkerchief they give, is that by the ketubah, by writing the ketubah?
That we'll learn later, is what's called kinyan chalipin, but it's not even really chalipin. The handkerchief, we're going to learn it, maybe we'll get to today, depends how fast we go. But there are various types of kinyan. Okay? There are ways to acquire land. There's ways to acquire what's called metautolin, movable objects. There's a ways of acquiring people. Okay? There are ways of acquiring animals. Okay? Later on, in the first paragraph, the Mishnah is going to discuss how you acquire slaves when slavery was permitted. How you acquire animals. Okay? Now, just to give you an example, and again, this is Torah, we learn out a lot from the Psukim. A lot is Halacha Mashmasina, a lot is what, you know, tradition, whatever it may be. A man could acquire a woman with money. He gives her the Matpruta, according to Beit Hillel, or Din, according to Beit Shammai, and she becomes acquired to him. Okay? You can't acquire a Gemara with money. If I want to sell you a Gemara, and I say it's $10, and you give me $10, and you didn't touch the Gemara, you didn't pick it up and take it, you didn't acquire the Gemara. I could change my mind, you could change your mind, there's no deal. Okay? Because tangible items are not acquired with money. Land, you can acquire with money. If I want to buy $1 billion property from you, okay, and I give you a dollar as a down payment, if you're lucky, give a dollar for a down payment, and the rest is a loan, mortgage, the house is mine. I don't have to pick up the house, don't have to do anything. That's one of the ways you acquire land. That's another kinyan. Couldn't acquire it many different ways. Kesef, shtar, or chazaka. Chazaka means you do something in the field that shows ownership. You make a fence around it, you put a hole in the field. You do something in the field, that's sign of ownership. Kinyan is the concept of, and in fact the Gemara is going to say, because the woman is being acquired by the husband, it needs to be with her full will and wishes. You can't come over to a woman in the street that you love, and all of a sudden, okay, here's a coin, now you're mine.
I've tried that.
It doesn't work. You know, it's worthless. If she doesn't want, it's not a kinyan. I can't come over to your Gemara because I like it and say, okay, here's the money here. I'm taking the Gemara and I pick it up and walk out with it. It's called stealing. In Halach, it's called stealing. Yeah? But and even if you take the money by metalta, so there are different ways that things, objects become acquired. Land is acquired one way. Tangible items are acquired differently. Slaves are acquired differently. People. There's all different ways of acquiring something.
And they're not interchangeable.
No. Okay. No. Well, sometimes, like, shtar might be good for both. So, you know, now, this that you pick up, the handkerchief, by signing the ksuba, you know, the chosen picks up the handkerchief, that is not an acquisition. That's just that by picking it up, he's legally binding himself to what it says in the document. Okay? But there is a certain kinyan, like when you sell chametz to the guy, one of the ways the guy acquires the chametz is with the handkerchief, you know, what's called chalip, an exchange. He picks up, by him picking up the handkerchief, he's acquiring the chametz.
That's kinyan suder.
Suder, chalipin, it's all the same thing. So there are different ways of acquiring different things. So the Gemara's question here is just on the language of the Mishnah, not on the din of the Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah using the word Kinyan if later on we use the word Kedushin? So either both places should say Kedushin or both places Nikness. So the Gemara answers, because here we're talking about the din of acquiring a woman with money, Kesef, right? And Kesef is called Kinyan. So therefore over here we learn, now, how do we know the Gemara says that you can acquire a woman with money? Maybe not. Because it says, ki yikach ish isha, the man will take a woman. It uses the word ki yikach. And when Avram bought the field, it uses the expression, kach mimeni, take it from me. So just like over there, it means money. Here it also means money. And money, kicha, we find an expression, hasad asher kana Avraham. So we find that Avraham bought the field with money, and it's called the word kinyan. What?
I have a question about something you said before that I don't get this. The Torah, the Gemara has a proper way of acquiring a slave.
When slavery was allowed, yeah.
Slavery was allowed, but the Torah knows that that's not a right thing to do. So it has.
Obviously, Torah speaks about slavery, so the Torah had a right thing to do.
No, I don't think so. The Torah is supposed to be a holy document, and it okay.
It is. It okay slavery, but if you learn the slavery laws according to Torah,
yeah,
the person was treated like a king, and it was beneficial for the person to be bought as a slave. It wasn't the cruelty of treating a slave like a dog. Like George Washington did. Or others.
George Washington?
Yeah. You ever hear of him? He's on the $1 bills. Inami, or else, another answer that we see that is called Kenyan. Sardis Bakasiv Yiknu. It says they acquire field with money. So because, again, the Mishnah is answering the question. Because we're talking about Kedusha, which is Kesef, and Kesef we learn out as a Kinyan, so therefore, Tani Ha'isha Niknes, therefore the Mishnah says, Ha'isha Niknes, that a woman becomes acquired, because we're talking about Kesef, and money is called a Kinyan. So the Gemara says, okay, so in the second Perek, it should say Ha'ish Kaina. So why over there does it use Kedusha? Why doesn't it stay uniform to here? Our Mishnah, we explain why it uses the word Kinyan, because money is Kinyan. So then in the second paddock, why does it say Oish Mekadesh, that a man does Kedushin? It should say Oish Kaina, the man acquires.
What's the difference between the first proof and the second proof?
It's just a different pasuk.
Yeah, but they're the same, right?
The same as far as what?
It says Hasadeh
Asher Kana Avram, that's one pasuk. Another pasuk says Hasadeh Bekesev Yiknu. Okay, then the Gemara says, so why does it say in the second parak, Ha'ish Mekadesh, why doesn't it say Ha'ish Kaina, to be uniform language with our Mishnah? So it says like this, Tana Lishna Deiraisa, Mikada at the beginning, meaning our parak, the Torah uses a biblical word which is Kinyan. Lebseif, Tana Lishna Derabanan. At the then, he uses a rabbinic terminology. Okay? So Gemara says, Umay Lishna Derabanan, what is this rabbinic expression of kedushin? Because nowhere in the Torah does it use the word kedushin in regards to marriage. Okay? Nowhere does the Torah use the word. Where does this word kedushin come from? It's rabbinic. So the Gemara says, what is the meaning of the word kedushin then? So the Gemara answers, my lishta drabbana, what is the meaning of this rabbinic term kedushin? It says, the asala akula alma kehegdish, that she, through the kedushin, becomes forbidden for everybody else in the world like holy property. In other words, things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to be used by anybody else. A woman who has kedushin is forbidden for every other man. As we discussed last week at greater length, when you do kedushin, okay, years ago it was in the time of the Gemara, it was 12 months apart. They did kedushin, a year later they got married. Kedushin is, you give her a buck, pruta, whatever it is, ring, today we use a ring, hariyat mukadeshesli. What does that mean? You are separated from the rest of the world, you can only be for me. But they can't live together until they have a chuppah, which years ago was done a year later, and they had the chuppah, then they were allowed to get married, be living together.
Why did they
leave? Because they had to get ready for the caterers. No, they didn't have caterers, they didn't have bridals. It gave them a year to get to prepare themselves for the chasana. But that's what the Gemara says in Ksubas. But the point is that when a man does kedushin to the woman, he acquires her to the extent that nobody else can have her anymore, unless he dies or gives a get. Right? So what does she actually become? Like hegdish property, like we learned in Chassidus, kaddish means holy, but kaddish really means separated. Removed and separated from the rest of the world. That's why in the psukim, in Parshas Vayeshev and other places, kaddish actually means a prostitute. Now, how do you have the word prostitute? Kadesha is the same letters as Kaddish. Right? How do you have a prostitute called? Because the word Kaddish means separated from the norm. Something holy is separated from the norm above, and prostitution is separated from the norm in below. So when a guy says, Areat mekudeshesli, he doesn't say Areat niknesli. Why doesn't he say the biblical term, you are niknes, you are acquired to me? Because the Chachamim want them to use an expression of Kedushin, which means she is like holy, meaning just like something holy of the Beis HaMikdash, nobody else is allowed to use, neither can she be used by anybody else. And Mami, she's a full married woman. If somebody commits adultery with her, it's adultery like with a married woman. If they want to break up, they need a full-fledged get. Then she cannot marry a Kohen because she's a divorcee. Okay, so the expression kedushin means that she is consecrated like holy items that she is removed from the entire world and it's only for him.
He has to, when he gives it, he has to say the whole thing.
What whole thing?
But if he doesn't say it, just gives a gift, still like,
no, has to be done in front of two witnesses. If they're talking about getting kedushined, and without saying it, but that's what they're talking about. You know, it's a good idea, maybe we should get, you know. And then he gives her the money, then it's in front of two witnesses, it's a good kedushin.
But if it's not in front of witnesses,
it's worthless, even if they both say it's...
So it's in the Oraita or in the Rabbanan?
What?
Having two parts, kedushin and yusin.
Minatena. So I want
to have two parts? Why not just one part?
Because one makes her forbidden for the world, and one makes her allowed to be with him. The Rabbim writes before Matan Torah, didn't have all this stuff. A guy walked in the street, liked a woman, said, okay, you're mine. He didn't like it, he dumped her. There was no concept of...
No female liberation
there. Right. But what's interesting, by the way, if a Jewish woman is married to a guy, she doesn't need a get from the guy. Because there's no marriage, halachically, between a Jew and a guy. But one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei ne'ach is adultery for a guy. Right? So if there's no marriage by a guy, how can you have adultery if nobody's ever married? The answer is, it's just between Jew and a Goy, there's no marriage. Between Goyim themselves, there is a concept that's called marriage. Even though they don't have Kedushin, they don't have Chuppah, they don't have the whole thing. But if a woman is designated to a man, to Goyim, the woman is designated to the man as Mr. and Mrs., so to speak, in for Goyim, she's an Eishes Ish, and if another Goy lives with her, it's what transgression of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Nechi, will get killed. Capital punishment. But a woman, a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man with a shiksa, whatever, they don't need a get.
What about the Jewish man with the marriage shiksa?
What do you want him to do?
No, meaning that that's also adultery?
They're not married. They're married.
Adultery not in Jewish law. In civil law, they'll probably kill him.
As long as this is not heading towards proposition.
But if she's married,
okay.
If she's married and she's a goy,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter for a Jew. Okay, now the Gemara says, so the Gemara explains, up to now, why we use the expression of mission of Kinyan. And the second pair we use the word Kedushin. Okay? But now the Gemara asks you this. Why does it say, Ha'isha Niknes, that the woman becomes acquired? Why doesn't the Mishnah say the man acquires the woman? In the second parak it says, Ha'ish Mekadesh, the man does Kedushin to the woman. So why does our Mishnah say that the woman becomes acquired to the husband? Why doesn't it say the husband acquires the woman?
But isn't it the same?
No, it's a different text. So it says, why doesn't it say the man may acquire in one of three ways? Why does it say the woman becomes acquired? So Gemara answers, Mishim the Kaboy, the Mishnah Sefer. Because at the end of the Mishnah it says, she acquires herself through death of the husband or a get. So, in other words, like this. Because the end of the Mishnah, when it speaks about the woman getting freed, it says the woman acquires herself. So therefore, the beginning of the Mishnah says a woman becomes acquired. Because we're all talking about the woman. She becomes acquired and she gets her freedom. So the Gemara says, V'nisna ha'ish kaino makna. So let us say simple. A man acquires and he releases her. Why doesn't he use that term? The man acquires a woman in three ways and allows it to be free in two ways. Mishum de'ika misa sabal. So my answer is like this. Because one of the ways that a woman goes free is with death of the husband. That she doesn't do. The husband doesn't do. Who does it? The lav il kamakne. It's not the husband who releases her from her bond. Min shemaya de makna. God gives her the release. Because God made the guy die. God Hashem made him die. So therefore, you can't say the husband lets the wife free by him dying. Because he doesn't let her free when he dies. Hashem lets her free when he dies.
Right, it's involuntary.
Right. Or the Gemara answers another interesting answer. Eboy Seima, I'll answer you why it says a woman becomes acquired instead of a man acquiring the woman. The Gemara says like this. If it says a man acquires the woman, like the Gemara's question, why doesn't it say the man acquires the woman? Havamin, I would think, afilu bal karchi can acquire her even against her will. Like we said, he could just walk over and say, okay, you're mine. I acquire you. Tana isha niknis. So the Mishnah says, the woman becomes acquired to teach us that midai to'in, that if she does it willingly, in other words, it's up to her. The woman becomes acquired means she has to agree to become acquired. In biblical times, or for that matter, in Talmudical times, if a man wanted to give a get to his wife, because if you acquire something, you can get rid of it whenever you want, right? If a man acquires the woman, technically the husband can dump her whenever she wants. So in biblical law, rabbinic law, until a guy called Rabbeinu Gershom came around, a man was able to divorce his wife against her will. In other words, for her to become acquired to the husband, she had to agree. You can't acquire something against their will. But once you acquired her, then you could free her whenever you want. It's not up to her, it's up to you. So in the time of the Chumash, or the Gemara for that matter, until Rabbeinu Gershom, a man was able to throw a get at his wife, just come over to her when she wasn't expecting it and put the get in her hand and say, goodbye, you're divorced. Rabbi Nagashim came along and said, It's not happening. Yeah, Kaf to do it, she has to be willingly willing to accept the get. Can't throw it at her.
So now when Gershom changed the law of the Torah,
he's not changing it.
Before he could just try to hit her.
See, he's being stricter that you can't do it if she doesn't want.
So now it's the same way?
No, it's more lenient.
Yeah.
The language you use.
There's a very interesting Tshuva Neder B'Yehuda. It's famous in the Tshuva Neder B'Yehuda. It says there's a rule, you can't make a shlich for a sin. Yeah? You can't make a shlich to do an Aveda. And shlich dvar. It's the Gemara in Kedushin later, by the way. It's a whole second parak. There's a lot about the concept of shlich ledvar Aveda. So the Neder B'Yehuda writes that if a man makes a shlich to divorce his wife against her will, it's ain shlich ledvar Aveda, is not a shlich. That's how far he takes it. He calls it, because Rabbeinu Gershom said no, it's called a Dvar Aveda if you divorce her against her will, and therefore there's no Shliach by an Aveda. You can't do it with a Shliach. The Gemara is going to ask later, I don't know if you meant this in your question, but the question is an extremely valid question. The Torah says she's divorced. How can you say she's not? Right? Or, in Pesachim, the Gemara brings it down later also. If a guy comes over to a woman on Pesach, gives her a loaf of bread, and says, Hareyat mukadashasli, b'loaf zu shel bread, kadas mei shev Yisrael, and she takes it, she is not mukadashas. She's not. No.
It's not worth anything.
Chametz and Pesach is also bano. It's also bano, kafradara, right? It's not worth anything. The Torah makes it not yours, so you never gave her anything. Then the Gemara says even a bigger than this. You know, biblically, you can have chametz until 12 o'clock. Chachamim made it an hour earlier, 11 o'clock. I mean, not exactly 11, but an hour earlier, right? So the Gemara in Pesachim says, what happens if a guy comes over to a woman? That means like this. Biblically, a loaf of bread becomes Aser Banah 12 o'clock. Chachamim said it becomes Aser Banah 11 o'clock. Yeah? So the Gemara says, what happens if 11:30, a guy comes over to a woman with a loaf of bread? Remember, biblically it's valuable. And he gives it a loaf of bread and says, Ariat Mekadeshesli, Beloaf zushal bread, kadas meishav Yisrael. Correct? Now, if you stop to think a second, biblically it's worth money. Biblically she's mukadeshes. She's an eshesish. So Gemara says, no. It's worthless kedushin. Because the Chachamim said it's worthless, you can't do it. So the Gemara asks, the Chachamim basically are uprooting a biblical kedushin. The Torah says she's a married woman, it's a valid kedushin. And you're coming now and saying it's not valid. How can you do it? So the Gemara answers the famous answer that answers a lot of Gemaras throughout these Masechtas. Kala Mekadesh Adaita Drabanim Mekadesh. When you do Kedushin, you're doing it according to the intent of the rabbis. If the rabbis say it's no good, then it can't be good. Biblically, it's no good. That's why we say, by the way, when you give a ring, what do we say? We don't say Ariyat Mekadeshesli. Why don't we stop? Ariyat Mekadeshesli, stop. We say Kedas Meishav Yisrael. What does Kedas Meishav Yisrael mean? Whatever the Chachamim want it to be, that's what it is. If the Chachamim say it's no good, it's no good. Chachamim say it's good, it's good. That's why we add, by the way, Kedas Meishav Yisrael. What do you have to add that for?
And where do they get that authority?
The Chachamim have the authority to say this is worthless.
In other words, I'm just asking the source of that.
The Gemara says, if I do something based on your intent, if you intend it to be good, it's good. If not, it's not good. Because I'm doing it based on your intent.
So you want to know where Chachamim got the authority?
I just want to know where Chachamim got the authority to do it.
Well, Shalavich v'yageit chad lo yisasim mikol adover sheyagidu lecha. It's positive, negative mitzvahs. But there's another issue. The Chachamim have the ability to say, your money is not money. Hefker bezin hefker. Bezin can make something hefker, worth value, ownerless. Bezin has the authority to make your property ownerless. So if Bezin says, right now this bread is worthless, that's a financial ability that the rabbis have. Once it becomes worthless, you never gave her anything.
And if I'm paid off, you give a box of shmurim out to the marriage is good for 18 minutes.
Yeah, if she accepts it in only for 18 minutes.
The translation that you gave is, in the beginning of the mission, is she acquires herself back. And so that does seem to put some onus on her. And so it doesn't seem far-fetched for Rabbeinu Gershom to have that opinion.
Well, the question is, just like death could be against their will, why can't the get be against their will?
I don't follow that.
And if she doesn't want the husband to die and the guy dies, is she free? She's a widow.
Oh, I understand.
So then why can't they... So the get is also against her will.
But Rabbeinu Gershom said the get can't be against her will.
Right.
Okay. But
no, it's again for the benefit of the woman.
Got it, but death, you can't.
You have no control over it.
I understand.
So how are you going to get to that if she doesn't want a divorce?
That's when you call Vinny.
That's the problem today. Was called iguna. The husband doesn't want to give a get. The wife doesn't want to take it. All these issues. Sure.
No, isn't that when it goes before a bezin and they decide whether it's
no?
No.
There's a called het meir rabbanim. That's a different story. Het meir rabbanim. We're going way off a little bit, but it's all in kedushin. Okay. Biblically, a man can have many wives. Okay, Rabbeinu Gershom said no. One wife is enough. Ashkenazim, yeah. Now, the Chachamim said there are certain cases that the Chachamim will allow him to marry a second wife. One of the ways is it's called Heter Meir Rabbanim, which means you get Rabbanim from three different countries to sign in a paper that they're allowing him to marry a second wife and the first wife, and then you get 100 signatures of Rabbanim wherever, and they allow. Most places they'll write a get for the wife and somebody will acquire it for the wife, you know, in Beis Din, and then he can marry a second wife. The reason why he can marry a second wife is because biblically he can have many wives. Rabbeinu Gershom said no. But biblically he can have many wives. See, a wife can't have two husbands. That's biblical. A wife can't have two husbands. Right? So, you know. In fact, the Gemara is going to say later, if, let's say, Reuven married Leah. Yeah, Reuven is married to Leah. Shimon comes over to Leah and gives her a ring and says, yeah, it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. Biblically, it's worthless. Because a woman is already taken. She can't be taken by somebody else. It's like a guy comes over to his sister, his unmarried sister, gives her a ring, it says, "Ariat Mukadash Shasli B'Tabaz." In front of two witnesses, all kosher, comes over to his sister and says, "Ariat Mukadash Shasli B'Tabaz Ukadash Ma Shivi Yisrael." Yeah, is she a married woman?
No.
Why not? He did kedushin with her.
So it's his sister.
But she's not.
Not even if she wants. I'm saying.
Not eligible
in California, maybe she is.
So the din is, it's a worthless kedushin.
Because
he can't. And kedushin teves him b'chayv krisis. In when there's capital punishment, you know, the woman would be capital punishment living with her. There's no kedushin at all.
Because of the law of the land.
Correct. But if a kohen who's not allowed to marry a divorcee, right, comes over to a divorcee and gives her a ring in front of two witnesses and says they have kedushin shli b'tabazu. She becomes a married woman, even though they have to divorce.
Because of
Marasayan. No!
No, because they'll think. No!
No, because a Kohen marrying a Gerusha is only a negative commandment. There's no death penalty.
Oh, it deals with
it. And the Gemara says later in Kedushin, later on, we'll get there 1 year, that by Kedushin, if it's Chayvi Lavim, if it's only a Lav, then the Kedushin is effective. That means if a Kohen comes over to a Gerusha, a divorcee, yeah, and gives her a ring, and this woman, for her to marry anybody else, needs to get from the Kohen. And if she does commit adultery, she's a full-fledged married woman who committed adultery, who gets capital punishment.
Just
same idea on Shabbos, that somebody makes a deal, a deal is a deal.
Yeah, deal's a deal.
But still,
he has to divorce her.
But he can't. But he cannot live with her.
He has to divorce her.
Anyway,
because a kohen can't marry a gerusha. But until he divorces her, she's a married woman.
What if she doesn't want the divorce?
Then she's stuck for life.
What's the benefit of that regulations giving the woman the option for the divorce?
Because he didn't want husbands just dumping wives.
But for Sephardim, it doesn't work.
He doesn't want to live with him, so...
But for
if she could have option, then not let him marry another...
Before Rabbeinu Gershom, a guy was able to dump his wife whenever he wanted. He saw a nicer woman, he just dumped her and took the nicer woman. She was never stuck. Rabbeinu Gershom said, it's not right, that's it. She needs to be willing to accept the get.
But Sephardi didn't take that, no?
That's they took. They didn't take the two wives stuff. What? That's part of the Heter Meira, but I don't know. Okay. Then the Gemara asked this. So the Gemara explained so far why it says the word nikness instead of kedushin, and why the Mishnah says the woman is acquired to the husband rather than the husband acquiring the wife. Right? Because then the Mishnah says the woman acquires herself a freedom, so therefore we use that. Now the Gemara says, if you look in the Mishnah, it says Isha nikness bishalish drachim. In Hebrew, there's achat shtayim shalosh. There's echad shnayim shlosha. Is male counting and female counting. Okay? Shalish is female counting. Feminine gender in counting. So the question is like this. Torah normally speaks in the masculine gender. Torah speaks. In fact, interestingly, davening is masculine gender. Right? What? Yiddish? What do you say when you get up in the morning? Modeh. Modeh is masculine. Modah is feminine. Okay? When you say Shalei Asani Oved, you don't say Shalei Asani Shivcha. You say Shalei Asani Oved. Okay? Davening is masculine. Okay? I spoke the Saturday night at Long Beach about, I don't know, creation. We Shabbos with God. Anyway, so talking about God, language, so lady asks me, what's this gender in Torah, masculine, feminine? I said, because God, you know, usually Torah speaks about masculine, feminine, whatever. So she says, what do I think God is? She says, well, what do you think God is? I said, my personal opinion is a white male. But, you know, I can't tell you what everybody,
Protestant.
You know, in my opinion, God is a white male. So the Gemara's question is like this: why does the Mishnah say Ishin Niknis B'Sholish Drachim, which is feminine? Listen, Shleisha. Let the Torah use the word Shleisha, and like Taisus explains, because Bishum the Taisus Kala Teira Kula B'Lashin Zachin Nemra. Taisus explained the whole Torah is written in the masculine. So the Gemara says, why is the Torah using this feminine? Why don't you use masculine? So Gemara says like this, because it says in the Mishnah, Bisholish Drachim, Derech, right? Now, Ma'i Lemisna Derech, and Derech Lashon Nekevahu, and Derech is feminine. So you're talking about three Drachim, and Derech is feminine, so then you have to use feminine gender of three.
What was the context of that?
Three ways that she acquires, becomes acquired to the husband. Dechsiv, how do we know derech is feminine? Because it says, they should teach them the way that she go va in her. So you see, derech is feminine, not masculine. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, it's not true. Because Elaha de Tanya, we learned in a braisa, b'shiva drachim beit kines azov. Azov is a male that emits certain types of liquids in the body, he becomes tummy. So over there it says, Shiva, which is masculine, Drachim, also the word Derech. And over there the Gemara, the Mishnah is using masculine. So why over here for Derech, if Derech is feminine, why are you using masculine? So Gemara says, because, Gemara answer is very cute, because the word derech is masculine. We just got to saying it's feminine. Now the Gemara answer is masculine. Why? The ashkechen derech, the groloshen zachar. And we find, sometimes in Torah, derech is masculine. Because it says, b'derech echad, which is masculine, echad, yeitu elecha, u'beshiva derachim. You know, it says by the, when the Jews are good, you know, the Goyim are going to come one direction, going to spread out all over the place, running away. So, the Gemara asks like this, why does our Mishnah use derech feminine? The Gemara says, because derech is feminine. So the Gemara says, but in the bright Mishnah we find it uses masculine. So the Gemara says, because derech is masculine. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, yachi kashi koya dadi. Then there's a contradiction of the sentences. What is derech? Sometimes the Torah uses masculine, sometimes the Torah uses feminine. Which one is it? And the Mishnahs are contradictory, because by Zav it says masculine, and our Mishnah uses feminine. So what is the word derech? Is it masculine or is it feminine? Gemara says like this. Sometimes it's masculine, sometimes it's feminine.
Androgynous.
No. By the way, do you know there's a name called Simcha? Simcha is a boy's name. Simcha is a girl's name. Yaina is a boy's name. Yaina is a girl's name. Sometimes there are words in Hebrew that are masculine, and sometimes a word feminine. So Gemara explains, when do you use which one? So Gemara says like this. Ha'cha b'teira k'siv. Because what the Pasuk says, to teach him the way they should follow. I mean, teach him Torah. As a derech yelchuva. What is derech? What derech should they follow? Torah, right? Torah is feminine. Come and say at the end, is feminine. Torah is lashon nekeva, because it says, Torah Hashem tamima mishivas nafesh, which is all feminine. So by, when the Pasuk speaks about Torah, then derech becomes feminine, because Torah is feminine. Here we're talking about acquiring a woman. So it says, Ha'cha b'mocha mekoi, it's speaking about the concept of going to war. Marriage. Listen what the Gemara says. It says like this. The darke shel ish lasis mochama, the way of a man is to do battle. Vein darke shel ish lasis mochama, the way of a woman is not to do war. So when it says, Kedushin, I'll explain in a second. Over there, you're talking about war. Kedushin, I'll explain why it's war. So war is masculine, because men fight, not women. So the Torah uses the masculine expression. Okay, why? Meaning as follows. The Gemara is answering the Torah contradiction. Okay? One pasuk says, Derech Hashem Yelchuva, which is feminine. And then said, "B'shiva derachem yenusa." They're going to run away. It's speaking about not marriage. Speaking about war. So Gemara says like this: when we're, in other words, derech, the word derech, sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. When the Torah speaks about feminine things, the Torah speaks about derech and feminine gender. If the Torah speaks about masculine things and uses the word derech, then it uses the masculine gender. So Gemara says like this. The pasuk that says derech yelchuba, derech in a feminine gender, is speaking about Torah, which is feminine, so derech is feminine. When we're speaking about the pasuk that says, by war they're going to run away from you in seven directions, by war, who fights a war? Men, not women. So therefore it's a masculine concept. So therefore the word derech over there is masculine. Okay?
Why is Torah feminine? What's this?
Torah says, Shem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. Torah.
What does that mean?
It's feminine gender.
No,
grammar.
That phrase, what is it?
That the Torah is complete. Returns the soul. Huh?
Malchut.
Torah. You know, I'll give you an example. Even Torah is very strange. You know, there's Or, is masculine, and Ora is feminine. In Hebrew, ah, with a hey at the end of the word makes it masculine. I mean feminine. Okay, you have ner mitzvah v'teira ar. Okay? And then it says, Yehuda Meisa Eira Vesimcha Vesasim Vikod. Eira, the Gemara says, is still Taira. So Eira is feminine. Right? So Chassidus explains, Kabbalah explains, so we find even in Taira, sometimes Taira is Or, which is masculine, and sometimes Taira is Eira, which is feminine. So it says it's the difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebiksav is the masculine, the oral Torah is feminine. Because male and female represents giver and receiver. Torah Shebiksav gives, Torah Shebalpeh receives from the Torah Shebiksav. So therefore, Torah itself is sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. But here the Gemara says Taita is feminine, so by feminine he uses a feminine expression. By battle, by the seven ways, it's men think to fight, so war is masculine. Hashem ish mulchama, masculine, so therefore he just says the word Darach and Shiva. What?
But mulchama is feminine.
Correct. But you speak about the person fighting, that's masculine. So the Gemara is going to ask, okay, that answers the contradiction of the Pesukah. We still have the contradiction of the Mishnah. You know, one Mishnah says masculine, one Mishnah says... But, by the way, what I was talking about, why did I say Kedushin is war? The Gemara is going to discuss this later, but when Hashem created Adam and Chava, we know, by the way, the men have a mitzvah pruer vu, right? And the women don't have a mitzvah pruer vu. Women are not obligated in pruer vu, men are obligated in pruer vu. Where do we learn it out from? Because when Hashem said to Adam, pruer vu, umilu es ha'aretz, fill up the earth, v'chifshu and conquer it. So the Gemara says, who conquers? Battle, you conquer. Men fight battles. Women don't conquer. If women don't conquer, they're not mukhiv in the mitzvah pruer vu. Because when it comes to the mitzvah pruer vu, what does the Torah say? Pruer vu, umilu es ha'aretz, v'chifshu and conquer. Who conquers? Soldiers. Who fights? Men, not women. That's what the Gemara learns out. Women are not obligated in pruer vu. Just for the record, because men cannot do the mitzvah without a woman, pruer vu, so therefore, even if preposition 8 is no, you still can't do pruer vu, so, but therefore woman gets schar, and a part of the mitzvah pruer vu. She's not obligated.